Happy Monday and welcome to the Steve and I Show. Hope you're having a great one. We're going to try our best to make even better for you. Tonight we have a show full of nothing but the hottest topics everyone's talking about. Of course, we have to touch in on the recent mass shooting in this country. We're over 140 and it's only April. So sad. But then we're going to switch gears and do a recap of SWV and Escapes, the Queens of R&B reality show that ended last week. What are your thoughts on some of the things that they highlighted? Then find out about a Florida teacher who was fired hours after he reportedly asked students to write their own obituaries. Now, this was prior to an active shooter drill that they were having that same day. Then a Florida mother, she wins $2 million lottery after giving her life savings to save her daughter who was battling breast cancer. I love when good things happen to good people. And then we're talking about a woman who quit her job. She's making six figures, quit her job after her office made them go from working remotely to coming back in the office full time. All that and much more. One module over Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and of course our official website, thestephenknightshow.com. If you'd rather watch, just go on our YouTube channel, The Stephen Knight Show. When we come back, the question of the day and hot topics. Right back after this.
Positive.
Welcome back to the Stephen Knight Show. I want to thank you for joining us tonight. We have a show full of the hottest topics, everything everyone's talking about. I remind you, if you'd rather go watch us, go to our YouTube channel, The Stephen Knight Show. We're all over social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and of course, our official website, thestephenknightshow.com. Check us out on our TikTok page as well. Family, how are y'all feeling? Y'all doing good?
Doing very well.
Good. I know it's a Monday. We love Mondays. Well, our question of the day is, what is something that you've always wanted to do that you haven't done? I ask you, Linnea.
I'm not sure. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Okay.
Maybe I'll get an idea if I hear what y'all say, but I'm not, nothing jumps out at me.
Yeah, I got you. What about you, Chike?
I'll name one of the ones that's going to get knocked off the list, the whole course back on the beach thing. That's going to happen, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mine is, I want to go to Europe. I've never been to Europe, so I want to go there. That's on my to-do list. Then do you think of anything?
So I've done the horseback on the beach. I've never been to Europe, so I would like to go to Europe.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to figure out something, like, you know. But I got nothing else.
All right.
I got nothing else.
Well, tweet us at home. Let us know what's something that you've always wanted to do, but you haven't done. All right, well, another mass shooting in this country. This time it's in Louisville, Kentucky, at a bank. It was this morning around 8:30 a.m. So apparently it was a employee. He started off as an intern. He's an employee. He found out he was getting fired. He left a note at home for his parents, indicating that he was going to shoot up the bank. He live streamed it. This one employee, they were in a meeting, their morning meeting in the conference room. The one lady, she was on Zoom or, you know, whatever video conference. And she said she saw the door bust open. And she said, I literally witnessed people getting murdered. There are four people killed, ranging from 40 to 64. One of them was friends with the mayor and the governor. There is a police officer. He'd been on job 10 days. I think he was in his 20s. He had just completed police academy, and he was shot in the head. He did survive, but he had to go to emergency brain surgery, and he's in critical but stable condition. It's just another, you know, this comes on the heels of the gentleman and where was this? I know
Tennessee.
Nashville, yeah. Nashville, who were removed from their positions because they protested on the floor. It was three of them that protested, a white lady and two black men. Of course, the black men were released. One of them was actually, he was voted back, reinstated as an interim. So he has to, when they have a special election, he can run again. And they spoke to him, and he's the first thing he did was he sent his condolences. That's what he was protesting, these mass shootings. And we all know that the NRA has their hands in the Republican pockets, and this is going to continue to happen. What are your thoughts, Chike, when you heard about yet another mass shooting, which I think we're at over 140 some in this country just this year alone?
I don't mean to sound trivial about people's lives. I really don't, but they've become normalized.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sad. People are dying.
Yeah.
And no one, this is not something that is of urgency to anyone. No one's making any kind of emergency concessions. No one's doing anything. They call emergency meetings in Congress about lesser things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how far are we going to go? Like, yeah. Seriously, how far are we going to go?
Lanier, what are your thoughts on this?
Let's just call a spade a spade. Most of the mass shootings that happen are white men.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly white, young men. I'm going to say like 16 to maybe 40 white. What we have is a failure as a country with, you know, those in office. I mean, just recently, the governor of Florida, signed into law, you know, I think we talked about that last week,
mm-hmm.
you know, with the open carry law, you don't have to get checked, and he had the NRA surrounding him during that signing.
Mm-hmm.
So we already know, you know, what that entails. That's, you know, those hands breathing each other. And in Texas, that governor is, I don't know if it's getting ready to do it or trying to pardon a
mm-hmm.
guy
mm-hmm.
who decided and put it on social media, I want to go kill somebody today because that's what I woke up wanting to do. And he decided to run a red light and drive through a protest or a Black Lives Matter
protest. Black Lives Matter press protest.
There was a, now that guy is an Army vet.
Mm-hmm.
There was also an older gentleman who's an Army vet who was actually not Army, Air Force,
mm-hmm.
general, retired, open. You can carry openly in Texas. And that man is no longer here.
Yeah.
and the governor wants to pardon him.
Before he was even found guilty, before the jury even made their proof.
He's going through trial. I don't know. The governor wants to pardon him.
Yep.
Now, so both of them are vets, but one is of a vet of a lower status, and the other is a vet of a higher status who served way longer for this country. And he gets murdered by someone who decided to wake up and kill somebody.
Yep.
Because that's what he wanted to do. And the governor wants to intervene. When have you ever seen a governor? They don't even want to stop executions, especially for people who are innocent. And he wants to intervene. I can't get no madder. I can't get it's selective, you know. Selective outrage. It's selective BS because I call BS. And I'm so, my boyfriend and I talked about this. You know, the reality of another civil war is right around the corner.
Yeah, keep saying it.
It's not that far fetched. It's really not. It's not that far fetched. And it's scary. It is so scary. It's terrifying.
And this is happening where it's easier to get guns, easier to.
And can I add something onto that about it being easier to get guns? My melanated people, please don't fall for the okie doke. Please go through the proper channels to get your firearms. Please get licensed. Have your paperwork. Do everything as if it's law for you to do that. Because do not trust the opposition. Do not trust them. I'm just saying.
Definitely.
Yeah. Do your due diligence.
Let me just say, I have had my gun license for over 10 years. And it's something important. I felt great going through the process of having my paperwork legal. And can I just point out, when the Black Panthers were carrying AKAs and trying to protect their community, ooh, they passed laws so fast.
They sure did.
They passed laws so fast when we were out there wanting to protect our communities, and it was supposed to be that constitutional right to bear arms, not for us. Not for us. This is only for them. And I'm so tired of people saying, oh, it's not always about Black and white. Okay. You keep telling yourself that so you can remain ignorant to the stuff that's going on.
I have a family member who tweeted or texted us on Friday, just got their 8th gun, saying it's getting scary out here. So. All right, well, let's switch gears. First of all, our thoughts and prayers are with everyone impacted in those communities where these mass shootings are happening. All right, so switching gears, SWV Escape, the Queens of R&B, their limited series ended last night. So just a little recap. They had a show on Bravo, and there were some things that they touched on throughout the, I think it was 6-episode series. There's drama between the Scott sisters, Tamika and LaTosha, who are both in Escape. Tamika claims that LaTosha's husband stole $30,000 of royalties from her. Apparently, Tiny's mom, they found out about this way you could get your royalties after, you know, the group had kind of, their heyday had kind of passed. And so she signed everyone up. Everyone was getting their checks. Tamika claims that LaTosha's husband signed it over to him, and it was going to their account. And she found out, but she said she didn't want to press charge because she didn't want to see her sister go to jail. Well, that came up on the show. LaTosha says she knows nothing about it. The husband, he talks in circles when they talk about it. So that's one thing. There's also, they found out a promoter, they had sent Escape text messages about LaTosha's husband again, between LaTosha's husband and the promoter, indicating that he was getting kickbacks for shows that he set up for them. So on top of the fee they would get, he gets additional fees. And this highlight all in the text, they confront Latasha on it. She calls her husband. He doesn't want her discussing anything on his behalf. And he talks in circles again when he talked about it on the show. Then when it came down to music, there was a debate on who should be the headliner. Candy thought because her and Tiny have had success outside of their groups and have gone on reality TV and, you know, they have big social media platforms, that they would bring people to the seats. While SWV says, we have sold way more albums than we have the biggest song with Week. And so they decided to end up co-headlining. And then the next issue was, who's going to have the closing song for the concert? SWV wanted Week. Escape wanted Understanding. SWV finally gave in and let Escape have Understanding as the last song. And so Coco and Latasha were on Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen last night. And he said that he thinks Week should have been the last song because you could see the audience responds when they were singing it. Everyone was on their feet, dancing, singing it, you know. And so Escape, they're still performing as a trio. Latasha is not performing with them currently. She's promoting her gospel album, which came out last Friday. SWV just announced they're going on tour with Jodeci and Drew Hill and others this summer. It was supposed to be a tour that they were putting together, but they had a lot of button of heads, so they just did the show. But the show was a success, and on the show, they said they'd do it again. But in recent interviews, SWV felt a little bit disrespected, and they didn't like all the drama because, you know, SWV used to have their issues too, but now they said, we get along, we put that behind us, we're co-workers, we realize we make money together. While Escape has a lot of drama they're still working through. But the show was a success for them. They were all excited. SWV also didn't like how social media was targeting them online following episodes. They didn't like all that. So did any of you watch it? And what were your thoughts on some of these topics?
I watched it. I thought it was entertaining. Again, another show where, you know, reality comes back to bite people in the behind. Mm-hmm. I had a thought after watching the last episode. Something came to me. And this is just a thought. I'm not accusing anyone of anything. It's just a thought. Tasha's husband used to work for R. Kelly. Didn't R. Kelly say some stuff about people were stealing from him? Mm-hmm. Hmm. And he's not working for R. Kelly anymore, but now he's over here and people are saying that he stole from them. That's interesting to me. Mm-hmm. It's something to think about. I'm not saying that the man did it. I'm just thinking.
The thing with Latasha is she talks in circles when she's being confronted about anything or trying to explain anything. She even came out with some social media videos where she's kind of talking in circles and crying. And she said that in one of the videos that her and her husband had an open marriage. Mm-hmm. But last night on Watch What Happened, she said she meant we have open communication. He doesn't have that easy. You know, they don't have open marriage. And people
are calling. That's what happens when you don't have a PR person to help you talk through your message.
You saw the people she had with her. Someone need to be on PR.
No one's on PR.
What are your thoughts, Linnea, when it comes to who do you agree with Tiny and Candy that they're the ones that are bringing people to the seats, even though SWV has sold more albums?
So I am not a reality TV fan. Mm-hmm. I would have preferred for them sisters not to do this because there's going to be an antagonist and a protagonist when it comes to that. And I love SWV. I mean, I like the state, but I love SWV. Mm-hmm. You tell me a show is happening, I'm going for SWV. I'm just being honest. What I've seen on social media, it just seems like, you know, Candy and Tiny love drama. Mm. And they're banking on that drama, you know what I mean, when it comes to doing these shows. This is just my opinion. Mm-hmm. When it comes to doing these shows, but I know that it opened up another door for SWV, even with the negative, blowback from it that they felt like they were receiving, you know, when they did Versus, you know, that opened up another portal for people to know who they are, because they were the IT group back in the day.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, Escape was. So, you know, I'm happy that they're going on tour. And I mean, I don't know what Jodeci looking like now. That used to be one of my favorite groups.
And actually, it's all the members of Jodeci are going on
tour. All of them. All of them. Yeah. And then Drew Hill. But that's just like with Jodeci and Drew Hill. I'm Jodeci all day. And I love you, but Jodeci all day. Because I had a thing with Devontae Wayne. But that's beside the point. I feel like everybody that we came up with the music that we listen to, they deserve a part of this, they deserve to eat because of this internet thing. Like these people who really didn't put in no work. Let's call it what it is. You know, these people are on the internet and they're getting, you know, you have all these followers, but did you put in the work?
Right. Yeah.
So
yeah, and but I will say I think the show did benefit both groups, especially SWV, because they weren't really on social media. You know, they are on there, but, you know, not going back and forth with people. But people are now, I see them on so many shows. I'm on Jennifer Hudson's show. So I'm on Sherry Shepherd's show. You know, Coco was on Watch What Happens Last Night. You see them being out there more. And I'm glad that they did, even though there was a lot of drama on the show, I'm glad they did do a lot of focus on the music. Like when they would talk about music, or even in the concert, they would, you know, put what song it was and how it charted and things like that. Because both of them are very talented and they both sound and look really good. So, but yeah.
It makes you look forward to R&B Diva.
Yeah, exactly. Well, here's a feel-good story. So talk about karma, good karma. A Florida woman mother won $2 million lotto prize one day after her daughter completed her last cancer treatment. Florida Lottery shared the heartwarming story via press release this past Friday. The winner, Geraldine Gambit, took home a one-time lump sum payment of $1,645,000 with per the release. Her winnings were the result of a bonus cash word scratch-off game. Now, she claimed her prize at the Lotto headquarters in Tallahassee with her daughter and a granddaughter by her side. In tears, her daughter explained the significance of the money. Now, the day before, she said, the day before my mom bought this ticket, I rang the bell and walked out of the hospital after completing my last treatment of breast cancer. My mom had taken out her life savings to take care of me when I was sick. I'm just so happy for her. Now, it turns out that she liked playing this particular lottery game, and she went to go, and the owner of the store said, we don't have any more. And so she just asked him, can you just double check? And he had one last ticket, and that's where she won. And the store worked out because they get $2,000 as a bonus commission. So apparently, according to Florida Lottery, the scratch-off game that she purchased cost $10. It has been in rotation since May of 2022 and features 8 prizes of $2 million and 20 prizes of $100,000. Floridians have been cashing out with lottery prizes since 1988. Per their release, more than 3,500 people have become millionaires from winning the lottery prizes. They've awarded over $85.8 billion, with a B, in prize money since that date. Don't you like when good things happen to good people or people that do good deeds? Chica, what do you thought when you hear this story?
Oh, that's my wheelhouse. I love when good things happen to good people.
Yeah.
I believe in positive energy and good karma and all that. Yeah. And it seems like the Lord was working and the Lord swooped down right on time.
Mm-hmm. And Lenny, I don't know if you're like me. I love unexpected money. What are your thoughts?
I found $20 last week. The one thing that I will say is that I wish that there was an option to remain anonymous. Because with that, when people know who you are, you know, it brings out a different animal.
Yeah.
And it puts you in danger. You know, I know me, you know, if I won a lottery, let me find me a good attorney.
Right.
I ain't saying nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't getting on TV. You ain't taking no picture of me. I'm gonna be like the dude in Jamaica that showed up in the screen mouth.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
He covered up his hands and everything.
Yep.
Like, so you wouldn't even be able to distinguish absolutely positively nothing about him.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, even though it's a godsend for them vultures is circling.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And you want them to be safe.
Right.
And I feel like when people don't have that option, you're actually putting them in danger,
mm-hmm.
Of the vultures. But, you know, God bless her daughter. You
yeah.
know what I mean? Because that first and foremost is the most important thing. God bless her for, you know, that journey of her life,
mm-hmm.
and her getting through that and moving forward. Because most likely they got a lot of, medical bills relating to that. Because a lot of insurances don't cover everything.
Mm-hmm.
Especially something so detrimental to your life. So
absolutely.
Crucial. So absolutely. God bless all of them.
Yes. And I remember I saw, years ago, I saw this documentary on people who had won the lottery before and how sometimes it took a horrible toll on their lives. But congratulations to them, and hopefully it works out in their favor. Take a quick commercial break. Find out why a Florida teacher, he was fired by asking students to write their own obituaries. Then the Dalai Lama, he's having to apologize after what some people are calling a pedophile act. Right back after this.
Slow pause, rewind. I wanted this for a long time. Your hand in mine. Our hearts in line. Your heart's skyless gray. Love our way, struggles in pain. Hold me close, don't let go. No one even has to. Say yes, say no, but never say.
noticed you weren't there. It should be you, the one I see when I wake, yeah. Playing every moment over in my head. Why? Tell me why you're not here. Speculations, don't know what's happened, but set up forevers, they became nevers. What we doing? Is this what you really want? Speculation, hearts bleeding. Thought we'd be for always. That's what you promised. Now you say you don't want it. Is there someone else? Tell me, tell me, tell me, tell me, tell me, tell me, tell me how you feel. What's the deal? No bullshit. Tell me, tell me, tell me, tell me how you feel. Pick up the phone. Just need a minute. Some things don't add up the way we left it. 9 years could have done more. A lifetime's what I was going for.
Guys, Jordan Pauline, and you're listening to the Stephen Knight Show.
Welcome back to the Stephen Knight Show. I want to remind you all over social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and of course our official website, thestephenknightshow.com. Rather watch us, go check us out on YouTube. We appreciate your comments and likes. All right, so a Florida teacher is under fire. And it was fired hours after he reportedly asked students to write their own obituaries. According to NBC News, the assignment was given ahead of an active shooter drill the same day. Now, according to the outlet, psychology teacher Jeffrey Keene, 63, was fired from Dr. Phillips High School in Orlando on Tuesday. However, Keene believes that he's done nothing wrong. He said, if you can't talk real to them, then what's happening in this environment? In my mind, we've done nothing wrong. So on Monday, Keene explained that he was informed about the upcoming active shooter drill on Tuesday. He felt the assigning students to write their own obituaries would allow them to reflect on their lives during the school shooter scenario. On Tuesday, during the first period, the teacher went on to assign the activity to a mix of 11th and 12th grade students. This isn't a way to upset you or anything like that. He reportedly told the class of 35 students additionally. He also explained his stance to reporters. It wasn't to scare them or make them feel like they were going to die, but just help them understand what's important in their lives, how they want to move forward with their lives, and how they want to pursue things in their journey. However, by the 7th period that same day, he was fired. Now, the Orange School District representative reportedly shared a statement regarding his termination. It says, Dr. Phillips High School families were informed that a teacher gave an inappropriate assignment about school violence. Administration immediately investigated, and the probationary employee was terminated. He was reportedly hired in January and was not a member of the union, and he has no recourse to reverse the district's decision. He still stands with it. He says, "I don't think I did anything incorrectly. I know hindsight is 2020, but I honestly didn't think a 16, 17, 18-year-old would be offended or upset by talking about something we're already talking about." So was he fired? Do you think, in your opinion, was he fired for having them write the obituaries or the timing of it during the active school shooter drill? What do you think this was all bad altogether, or do you just think it was the timing? I'll ask you, Lania.
I mean, the timing could have been, I don't know. Well, I'm trying to figure out. No, that was college. It wasn't high school. So in college, we had a professor who had us practice writing our own eulogy. And of course, nobody wants to think about their immortality. You know what I mean. Nobody wants to think about that. I'm thinking about Mortal Kombat here. Nobody wants to think about that. But with everything that's going on, I feel like it was in bad taste right now. And maybe it could have been presented differently, because people are on edge, and this is something that is not something in the past. It's so current that, you know, you want teachers to have guns in the classroom for what? When you can just put laws into place to protect people. But you don't want to do that. So I think it was just in poor taste. And he wasn't, he was on probation and he wasn't tenured. So he has no recourse, you know, in regards to, you know, fighting this.
Right.
You were on probation, bro. So, you know, maybe it should have been thought out a little better and presented differently. And maybe a conversation should have been had before then with administration to be like, well, being that all of these school shootings are going on, you know, would it be conducive for me to, you know, present this type of assignment at this time? Mm-hmm. Maybe, you know, maybe that could have been an option.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Chica, what are your thoughts on this?
So he wasn't a teacher of tenure because he would have to have shown his lesson plans, because real teachers have lesson plans and they have to turn them in and show what they're going to be working on. Smart. As someone who writes, I don't think that there's anything wrong with that. I think that it's a little cathartic, actually. And when you do a eulogy, oh no, was it obituary? It wasn't a eulogy, right?
An obituary.
So an obituary, an obit in a newspaper is a special form of writing. It's not your average writing installment. There's things that are particular to an obituary, and there's specific writing lessons that go into writing an obituary. So I don't know. It's a lesson. He's teaching them something. And it's also thought provoking because you have to think about your own immortality. I don't see anything wrong with it. With the times that we're dealing, why not? Mm-hmm. Why not? You practice drills, get on the floor, hide your head, get under the desk. You practice drills. Why not embrace everything that's of our reality right now? Because this is where we are. You can't continue to shield people and you want to hide things. You want to erase the past. You want to remove bad things. This is kind of sort of what's wrong with people now, because you want to tuck away some of the not so nice things and make it cushy and sweet and nice for everybody all the time. That's not real life. That's why most people need a pill right now.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you should.
I think they need to embrace it. They should go through with the exercise and write their obituaries, and maybe read them to all the parents at an assembly and let them know how they feel about the school shootings. Make it a thing
for these people.
Yeah, I think maybe a letter should have went home to the parents ahead of time, just to give them the heads up. This was the assignment. Just kind of because something like this, it could backfire you either way. So either you
can get. Can I just say something? I'm sorry, I have to push back a little bit. When I was in school and when they were doing sex education, that was a big thing. Nobody sent a letter home. They didn't know what they were talking to us about in school. No one sent any letters anywhere.
Yeah.
Why?
But schools are more sensitive now. People are more sensitive now. And so
get real sensitive and protect the kids from school violence.
No, I agree. But it's either cover your bases or lose your job. And he's lost his job. So I think he should have probably gotten either the school buy-in or buying from the parents, just for his own, because everyone is so fragile now.
Yeah, it's a pain, but I mean, what do you want to do?
Right.
You know, it is a pain, but unfortunately, it's like walking on eggshells.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, you gotta try to move a certain way so you don't.
Right.
I don't know if you want to say offend or, you know, and not that it should be that way, because those who are putting our lives in danger are not asking us or sending home anything.
Very true.
We need more rebels.
Yeah. All right. Well, the Dalai Lama is under hot water online for what people are calling acts of pedophilia. On Monday, the spiritual leader, 87, apologized that the virtual video showed him kissing a minor boy, then suggesting that the child suck on his tongue. So, this is what he posted. A video clip has been circulating that shows a recent meeting when a young boy asked His Holiness, the Dalai Lama, if he could give him a hug. His Holiness wishes to apologize to the boy and his family as well as many friends across the world for the hurt of his words may have caused. In the last paragraph of the statement, His Holiness seemingly suggested the tongue-sucking comment was meant as a joke. His Holiness often teases people he meets in an innocent and playful way, even in public before cameras. He regrets the incident. However, there is no explanation on why the hug escalated into a kiss. Now, according to CNN, the incident with the minor child occurred in February at an event in India. M3M Group, an India real estate company, was hosting a philanthropic event. I get that word messed up. Featuring the Lama. The video shows the boy approaching the spiritual leader asking, "Can I hug you?" In response, Dalai Lama invited the boy on stage and pointed to his cheek. First here, the suggestion was for him to kiss him on the cheek. Then the child obliged. After the hug, the hug and kiss, the leader pointed to his lips and said, "Then I think finally here also." Before the child could react, Dalai Lama reportedly pulled the child's chin towards him, kissing the minor on the lips. The boy recoiled his head as laughter and claps filled the room. Moments later, the leader tried to pull the child's forehead onto his own, but the child appeared to pull away slightly before giving in. After a few moments, the boy stood apart again while the Lama stared at him. Then the 87-year-old motioned at his tongue and poked it out and said, "Suck on my tongue." The clip shows the unidentified child seemingly laughing, then leaning in before the clip cuts out. It's unclear if that ever happened. Now, the tweeted statement has received over 9.9 million views and over 10,000 comments. Reactions range from disgust to calls for Dalai Lama to step down as a spiritual leader and very few justifications for his actions, including reference to the Tibetan culture. I saw Cardi B posted that we have to protect children and they're pedophiles all over. What do you think about this, Linnea? I mean, what do you think? I mean, what he's saying is it was at a public event. I wasn't trying to do anything crazy. I was joking around. But other people are like, "You're 87 years old kissing a little boy." What are your thoughts?
I am confused.
Right. I was too.
I saw a snapshot. And at first I thought it was like, what do you call it? Photoshop. Because I saw the tongue. And I'm like, what's going on? Like, this is Photoshop. So but he really said that it was a joke. Did he really said that?
Yeah.
You know what? I defer to TK Evans at this particular moment.
I mean, TK, the hug is one thing. Kiss on the cheek, kind of stretching it. Kiss on the lips, completely inappropriate. And then now you want him to suck on your tongue. Your thoughts?
Well, as you were reading it, I was visualizing it. I did see a snapshot of like a picture.
Yeah.
On his face, it's wrong. It looks wrong. It sounds wrong. It's wrong. I don't care how you dress it up or joke or whatever. It's wrong.
Yeah.
Optically, wrong. Just wrong. So now what are they going to do? What are they going to do with him? He's the Dalai Lama. What are you going to do with him?
Right.
You can't shift him around to another church.
Oh, don't you do it?
What? What? What'd I say?
I knew it was coming.
You can't relocate him, you know.
Mm-mm.
Find another, you know, place for him to calm down and then start up again. You can't do that.
Because he can't even get canceled, can he? No. I mean, like,
do they? I mean, I don't know.
Like, does that even apply to him? Does cancel culture even apply?
Like, it's apparent these days when people wear robes, they can just do whatever they want to do.
I mean,
can I get a robe? Can I buy one from Amazon?
Yeah.
It's like Magneto's helmet. It protects you. You can do whatever you want to do when you wear a robe.
The cloak of invisibility. Wait.
I don't know.
Okay. All right. Okay.
But it's totally wrong. Whatever he says is canceled. It's like, there's no excuse for this. This is wrong behavior.
Yeah. Completely. Our last story. So
I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Our last story. So a woman in Arizona, she's decided to quit her job after her boss demanded that she has returned in the office full-time basis. So apparently, you know, she did an interview with the Business Insider, and she just goes by 53-year-old Felicia. And she worked as an administrator, and she was making over six figures salary. During COVID, obviously, they had to shut down the office because it wasn't safe, and they worked from home. Then they decided they would have them come back in a hybrid model where they come in 2 days a week and then work 3 days from home. She did that. And then recently they told them they had to come back into the office full time. But she took issue with the announcement, saying that she was able to get more work done at home and that she at home than she did in the office because of distractions and interruptions. So I was going home and working 4 hours because I couldn't get work done. She told the publication. Felicia initially tried to get back into the swing of things by saying how she felt about the working out the office full time for a month, but she ended up quitting. She said, I know how to do my job. I don't need to be in the office to do work. I just knew I didn't want to go back to how it was before. Mm. So apparently, Felicia wasn't the only one that took issue having returned to office on a full-time basis, claiming that other people at the company who decided to leave and find jobs because they prefer working from home, even if it was only a few days a week. Now, one of the advantages of working from home is the flexibility it provides. You can set your own schedule and work when it's convenient for you. This can be particularly helpful if you have other responsibilities such as caring for children or elderly relatives. Additionally, working from home can save you time and money on commuting, and it can also reduce your stress levels. Another advantage of working from home is that you have more control over your work environment. You can set up your workspace in a way that is most comfortable for you. You can also control the temperature and lighting. This can help you be more productive and focused. Now, one of the biggest challenges is staying focused and productive. When you're working from home, it can be easy to get distracted by household chores or activities. Additionally, not having dedicated workspace can make it difficult to separate work from home life. Another challenge working from home is the lack of social interaction. when you're working from home, you don't have the opportunity, same opportunities to interact with your colleagues and build relationships. This can lead to feelings of isolation, loneliness, which can negatively impact your mental health. So the article goes on, tells you some tips that if you do work from home, how to be productive. But I know personally someone who threatened to quit when their team threatened to quit when their company said they had to come back in the office. So then they changed it to just a few days a week they had to come in the office and not full time. But with, you know, the tech company took a major hit. They've laid off tens of thousands of people. And even though there are still jobs out there, it's not as flippant as it was during COVID. So do you think you'll start seeing companies become more and more, you know, bringing people in the office? Because, you know, what happens when people work from home, they're not helping, like, especially like in a city like New York, those bodegas and those restaurants and, you know, those took a big hit because people weren't coming in the office, going there for lunch and things like that. But do you think that the employees will come out on top of this? Or do you think that companies will, as they start, ask people to come back in? Because I know plenty of companies that are starting to have people come back in. Chike.
So part of my thought on this is that there are going to be a lot of companies that start out with trying to work with people at home, but then they're going to really realize that they don't need those people. And when they start shutting down, that those are the people that they're going to shut down first, those people that are home. So it's all well and sweet right now, but I advise you to get into the building and start doing more than your share, because it's going to get real crazy out here. I'm just saying.
Yeah. There was an expert that said that when you're not in the office, it's easier to let you go because you're not there, you know?
Yep.
Lanil, what do you think about this?
I know that during COVID, I was the only one in the office because I can't work from home because of what I do.
Right.
And two people were let go during COVID. One person in particular had 15 years in at this particular company. And the other one had, I guess, about maybe like 5 years in. And it wasn't even an in-person let you go. It was on the phone let you go. Depending on where you are in your life, right? Depends on, you know, whether or not you want to stay in the 9-to-5 race. If that's something that you want to do, and if it's something that you want to do, because of where we are after COVID, you have some decisions to make. Like, you know, TK knows for me, you know, my ultimate goal is to transition out of a 9-to-5 because that's, I know that's not what God created me for. And I think depending on what you're dealing with within that job, for me personally, anxiety, stress, microaggressionism, no growth, no room for advancement. So it's a little bit different for me than it is for this woman, because based off of what I saw, she was making like 100K a year. And I'm the lowest paid in my company. I have been, even though my work is worth more, because when I'm not there, they suffer. I think it all depends on the individual and where they are in their life. And because of my job, I now hate the word team. When I see it in the email, it does something, it triggers me. Or if I hear it in a meeting, that word triggers the hell out of me. Because it's not. We're not a team. This is all about you and having bodies in here to do the work for you so you can go be on a golf course.
Right.
Period.
Yeah.
So it's an individual case by case basis. But I mean, you know, do what you gotta do.
My thing is, get a job first before you quit the one you got, Felicia. Hopefully she did that. Well, anyway, thank you so much for Hot Topics, Linnea, as always. Cheeky, I'll see your movie reviews, and we'll be right back after this.
Dress all that shit that we had to say. Got me caught in my feelings, I'm not okay. You say fuck off, you hate me, I'm feeling away. Hold up, wait a minute, I ain't shit. Well, you ain't even pack your bags, fuck outta here. You've been evicted, get outta here. You press my buttons now, I'm talking shit. I'll shut my phone off and hit the club with my friends. Get out my face talking all that shit. I swear I'm done, had enough of it. You talking, keep walking ahead. Walk out the door and you know that that's it. I say what I say, but you know I don't mean it. You say some things that I know you don't mean. I say what I say, but you know I don't mean it. And you say some things that I know you don't mean. You're down on your knees begging, begging me please now. I'm doing me now, I'm doing me now. You're cutting me deep, starting to bleed now. I'm feeling weak now. Talking for weeks now, and I just had a long ass day. So please get the fuck on my face. Not trying to go back and forth with you. Please take the door with you. I'm trying to get in my pace. Well, hold up, wait a minute. I ain't shit. Well, you ain't even pack your bags. Fuck outta here. You've been evicted. Get outta here. You press my buttons now. I'm talking shit. I'll shut my phone off and hit the club with my friends. I say what I say, but you know I don't mean it. And you say some things that I know you don't mean. I say what I say, but you know I don't mean it. And you say some things that I know you don't mean. I say what I say, but you know I don't mean it. I say what I say, but you know I don't mean it. But you know I don't mean it. But you know I don't mean
Dre shit. Yeah, just that soulful shit I be talking about, bro.
Facts.
P.A. Dre, what up? Let's get to it. Look, I'm out west yelling Jersey like I'm close to home. Jersey. Was on the block like Moses, this ain't Post Malone. We quoting poems that we never had to plagiarize. Stepping to Goliath till I bring him down to David's size. A shaking fries a complimented if you talking beef. Penny per thought is even less when your talk is cheap. These subtleties are befuddled, nigga walk with me. Even when I got the pen sealed, they won't sharpen me. They telling tales like these shits are really cautionary. The flow water, but really I'll be off you fairies. Nothing's arbitrary. I put that on my mama's soul. I'm a man before my sisters play my mama's role. And I'm Nicole, so don't stress where that diamond is. Watching me maneuver like I'm a Sean with the Heimlich is. King of my city if you ask, but they saying them. The mayor trying to give me the keys that I gave to him. I play the win and told Lee I'm talking honest. Plus I got a few bucks like I'm Middleton and Giannis. The road was turbulent, I know to be a little bumpy. I ain't Johnson, but this rap shit got me living comfy. I get it monthly, like what you end the sentence with. Rap niggas is goofy, they always on some friendly shit. But turn your back and like honor, yeah, they been a dick. Fuck them though, let's appreciate this penmanship. Let's appreciate this penmanship.
Yeah, talk to him.
Hey, yo. Hey, yo. One time for all of the soldiers who never folded and did what they was supposed to do. It's only a chosen few that I can show devotion to. It's hard not getting emotional, cause you stayed solid despite everything you was going through. Was the definition to show and prove. Can't believe you're gone, but I know it's true. So I sing your song in a vocal booth. I wanna be close to you, so I pour out some liquor in the cracks of the concrete where the roses bloom. You was my ace since the playground. Dreamt of running this rap shit, giving the industry a shakedown. Standing at your grave mound, feeling guilty cause shit's starting to shake now. This ain't at all I was supposed to play out. Just know your memory is well protected. Rarely aggressive, but when it comes to the similes, I'm well respected. Pouring my soul through a pencil tip. If you listening, then I hope you appreciating the penmanship. Yeah. My soul through a pencil tip. If you listening, then I hope you appreciating the penmanship.
PC, what up? Let's appreciate this penmanship.
Welcome back to the Stephen Knight Show. Adam, how's it going? How's it DC treating you?
It's going well. DC's treating me okay, but it's full allergy season right now, and it's been hitting me pretty hard. I don't know how you guys are down there, but or up there for UCK, but yeah, the pollen's coming in.
Yeah, it's back. My car is green. Well, listen, I'll let y'all take away movie views.
Sure thing. So I wanted to see the number one movie of the weekend, Super Mario Brothers, but I did not get a chance to get to the theater. But I've heard a lot of fun things about that film. Instead, though, I ended up watching Murder Mystery 2 on Netflix. And for anyone who may remember, back in 2019, Adam Sandler and Jennifer Aniston starred in Murder Mystery 1. And it was a Netflix exclusive streaming movie where they're a couple that goes on a trip and they end up solving this murder that happens along the way. Well, they're back. This time they are working on becoming a detective business, and they go visit a friend's wedding celebration out in some private island that this rich friend of theirs has. And along the way, something happens, of course, and now they're back in it trying to solve this murder. You know, I reviewed the first one a few years ago. It's what you would expect from a Netflix exclusive Adam Sandler movie. You know, it's not bad, but it's definitely not a good movie. There's just a lot of kind of, you know, stale moments. The dialogue's not always great, but I will say Jennifer Aniston and Adam Sandler have a great chemistry. They're fun to watch. They're funny people, and their back and forth makes it worthwhile enough to watch. And at only an hour and a half, you know, you don't feel like you're being too cheated out of your runtime. So what I'll say about Murder Mystery 2 is, feel free to put it on, even put it on in the background if you want. It's something enjoyable enough, but unless you already have a Netflix subscription, don't go out of your way to watch this.
Is that the only one you saw?
Yeah, that's the only thing I had a chance for.
Yeah, I actually thought about watching it, but after hearing you, yeah. So I saw a couple films. First being the DC comic release, Shazam. And this is the sequel to the first one. Again, it's a family film. If you remember the storyline, Shazam incorporated his adopted sisters and brothers to be a part of the Shazam family. So all of the children have superpowers at this point, and they're saving the world and fighting crime. It was entertaining. Did it need to be in the theaters? No, you could have stayed at home and watched it on TV. It's a good family film, very good. You know, I'm not really too fond of the DC movies or Marvel movies for that matter that are family friendly. I like my heroes serious and with a little blood and violence, but good film for home and with the family. The next film I saw was a documentary on Hulu called Pretty Baby. It's the Brooke Shields documentary. That was pretty good. It's a two-parter. Basically, Brooke Shields is someone who has been famous her whole entire life. She was an infant model. From infant model until now, Brooke has been in the spotlight and in the entertainment industry. And she has some stories because she's lived. Earlier on in her teens, she had some controversy because her mother was her manager as well, but she also associated her with some projects that probably were looked at as risque or controversial for that time period. Probably more so now with the sensitivity of the culture now, those projects that Brooke did when she was a teenager will really be scrutinized by the public. But definitely check it out. She has a story to tell. I think she has some good messages in there. And she's just about the only celebrity in my generation that has had the trajectory of a career that she has had. No one else has had. Maybe Drew Barrymore, but Drew Barrymore is not as old as Brooke Shields. She's younger. But if Drew continues, she would have had the career that Brooke Shields has had. Next, I saw that movie 65 with Adam Driver.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty much like After Earth with Will Smith. So if you saw After Earth with Will Smith, you saw 65 with Adam Driver. Again, it's something that you could see in streaming. I don't know why they put it in the theaters. Probably because they wanted to make the money, but the film itself to me wasn't worth going to go see it in the big theater. Although they tried to make it, you know, with those dynamics, you know, with the special effects and the aliens. Technically, they're not aliens, but you get it.
Yeah.
You can watch it on TV. No need to go to the theater. You can wait. Sorry. And that was it. And the Monique special. Steven, I know you saw it too. What do you think?
I did. So I've heard mixed reviews. I saw a lot of people praising online for it. Then I saw some people saying it wasn't funny. But I don't think it was meant to be your traditional comedy special. I think she was more so telling the story of her life and throwing comedy in there. There were some times I really did laugh and sometimes I didn't laugh. It was kind of real deep. But I thought she did a good job. You know, I mean, I like Monique anyway. So, but I do get some of the criticism if you're looking to just fall out, laugh. You know, like I saw some more, her comedy special. I was crawling up, you know, holding over crying. But yeah. Monique, I wasn't. Yeah,
I think Monique had a message that she wanted to get out more so than anything else.
Yeah.
And I think she kind of wanted to be slightly controversial.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. But did you see who was in the audience when towards the end?
Saw plenty of people that was in the audience. I saw a lot of people that we know in the audience.
Mm-hmm. Well, Lee Daniels, he was there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now they're working together again. But yeah.
Well, he produced, what was that last one that she did?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The reading. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's good. They made amends. They made amends. Anything coming down the pipeline?
Yeah, there's a few. So in the distant future, the new Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, I saw the trailer for that. That looks like it's going to be a really fun watch. And, you know, the first Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse was great. I saw this one, I'm on the fence on, the new Indiana Jones movie. Harrison Ford's just, he's too old. I don't think he's gonna really like convince me that he's the Indiana Jones that we grew up watching, but I'll keep an open mind.
I saw the trailer, and there's a scene where they're all at like this table, and like he's surrounded, and he pulls out this sword, pulls out a gun. He's like, oh.
Yeah, I like this. So there'll be, I think there will be some fun callbacks, but again, we'll see. We'll see what happens. Otherwise, Renfield, and this one, the Chike's probably, it might be on your radar. It's the one with Nicolas Cage where he plays Dracula.
You're being funny? Are you being funny?
I'm trying to.
So those people that know me know something about Nicolas Cage, I think it's just his face. Honestly, that's the best thing I can come up with. I can't buy it. I can't buy anything that he's in. Sorry, I just can't. Although I saw the trailer for Renfield and it looks like it's going to be a good movie. Mm-hmm. What was that last movie that he did? The one where he played himself.
The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent?
Yes. And I hear that was a pretty good movie.
It is good.
I can't get past his face. Well,
hopefully, I mean, Nicholas Hoult plays Renfield, and I think, you know, he's the lead for the movie, so maybe there won't be as much Nicolas Cage to worry about, but it does look like a fun kind of...
It does look fun.
Horror
it does.
Movie, yes.
Yeah. So, good. I'm here for The Flash, so that's what I'm holding out for.
Yeah, when Shazam 2, I know, and you saw it, that it sounds like, you know, they kind of, this movie was coming out after they already decided to revamp the whole DC universe. So yeah, it seemed like the movie was an afterthought. Like they knew that they're not in the next level.
No, I don't think it was an afterthought. I think it was, I don't know actually how they're positioning Shazam, because I'm thinking about the storyline and how it goes, and they're so far off of where they need to be as it relates to this particular character. Because technically, he's supposed to be with the others already. Mm-hmm. He's mentioned them. I think in the first one, Superman, at the end of the movie, he came to the school.
Yep.
So they met, but nothing has moved forward with him being in the Justice League. Spoiler alert, if you haven't seen Shazam yet, Wonder Woman is in this one briefly. But her presence in it isn't enough for it to have weight on the story that's pending with the Justice League. Because as we left the Justice League, Wonder Woman sent a head flying back into the portal. So it left on like a really violent note. They haven't revisited that at all. So hopefully with Flash, we'll get a little piece of what we had. But the revamping, I don't know. I hear that this last Wonder Woman movie that's coming up is Gal Gadot's last one. So I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, rumor has it they're the Flash is going to revamp and like that's why they're not hiring anyone back, because they're going to do young versions of all of them, and it's going to like reset the whole universe so they can kind of start with a clean slate.
Wow. Okay.
So we'll see.
See what happens. Listen, guys, thank you for always letting us know what to spend our time and money on and whatnot. And we'll be right back after this.
Thanks.
Like you're so far. I wish that you could see me to see how I change. But you don't even care, and everything has changed.
This is R. Prophet, formerly of the Grammy-nominated group Nappy Roots. My new book is the number one bestseller on Amazon, Ryan Prophet from Grams to Grammys. Check it out. And you're watching The Stephen Knight Show.
Welcome back to The Stephen Knight Show. Now it's time to highlight our Black-owned business. It is the Busy Bee Cafe, located here in downtown Atlanta. Another addition from our Roundup amazing Black-owned restaurants in Atlanta. The Busy Bee serves up Southern classic dishes, providing their loyal fan base with top-notch comfort foods. There'll be a link in the bio of this video where you can learn more about the Busy Bee Cafe. Thank you for tuning in tonight. Hope you have a great week, and we'll see you again next Monday. Good night.
Late night, it's all eyes on me. Everything's gonna be all right.